the work of the street pastors. And do remember that KURC's 2019 All-Age New Year Party, now a mere 3 weeks away, is on Saturday the 9th of February. If you're lucky enough to be hearing this for the first time, you can get more details from the posters in the foyer and the Mayo Hall, or from the February edition of Church News, which is now available, or failing that, from Vaughan James. Vaughan. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you. I thirst for you, living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? We join to sing, Now Thank We All Our God. Please have a seat. We join together to pray. Let us pray. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we gather before you, Lord our God. With the spiritual gifts that you have granted to us, we would worship you. Come, Lord, and enable us to use our minds, our tongues, our hands, according to the gifts that you have given. We We come aware of the gifts that you have given to us, knowing that we have done nothing to earn them, nothing to deserve them, and it is only by your grace that we can use them. For without you, we are nothing. We confess our arrogance, we confess that sometimes we behave as though we own this place, forgetting that it's yours. We confess that sometimes we are smug about our role in society in contrast with the role of others. Forgive us. Help us to see that each one of us is precious in your sight. We're different and loved by you. Come among us, Lord our God. Touch us, that our gifts may be stirred into action for the living of life well to your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Let's say this psalm together. Lord, your constant love reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the skies. Your righteousness is towering like the mountains. Your justice is like the depths of the sea. People and animals are in your care. How precious, O God, is your constant love. We find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundant food you provide. You let us drink from the river of your goodness. You are the source of all life, and because of your light, we see light. Continue to love those who know you, and to do good to those who are righteous.
Good morning. I've got four gifts here. You thought Christmas was over, didn't you? I wonder what's in these gifts. Can I have my four grown-up volunteers? My four adult volunteers. They're going to open up each gift and see what's inside. And they're going to mime. They're going to mime or act out what's inside. And you've got to guess what's inside. Okay. So, Catherine, happy Christmas. Yeah? A mirror, well done. Thank you, Catherine. There isn't actually a mirror in there, but it's getting bigger. Happy Christmas. Happy birthday, whatever. Chocolate. That had to be in there, didn't it? It's a very pretty box. I'd be quite happy with just the box. You just lift up the lid on that one. Right. No, don't. A scarf. Yeah, I was going to say, no props, please, Mrs. Wenman. Oh. A CD of ABBA's greatest hits is what Leslie's just said. That would be an amazing present. An iPad, the technological generation. Very good, very, very good, very good, very good. An iPad, yeah. Now, we're thinking about gifts today. I wonder if God gives gifts. You think he does? What sort of gifts do you think God gives us? Takes our sins away. Forgiveness. Yeah? Any other suggestions? Sophia, do you want to say something? No.
Truth.
Gift of truth. It's a good suggestion as well, yeah. Anything else, Bethany?
Love.
Love. Yeah. Anything else? Sight. Our sight, yes. None of these things. Oh, there is one. Go on then.
Talents.
Our talents. We might talk a little bit more about that in a minute when we go next door. Our talents, all the things that we can do. None of those gifts come wrapped up in a nice box, do they? No. We're going to think about gifts from God and how we can then give those gifts to other people. Okay? But first, we're going to sing. We're going to sing, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist. Okay?
Thank you.
bless you. See you later. The list that we're going to hear in 1 Corinthians 12 is not an exclusive list. There are lists in Romans, Ephesians, Galatians of spiritual gifts. It's not a definitive list. There are gifts in one place that aren't used in another, which is indicative to us that there are a whole range of gifts that are not itemized and God is at work in a whole range of different ways. Vaughan James will read this passage to us from 1 Corinthians 12.
Gifts from the Holy Spirit. Now, concerning what you wrote about the gifts from the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the truth about them, my friends. You know that while you were still heathen, you were led astray in many ways to the worship of lifeless idols. I want you to know that no one who is led by God's Spirit can say, a curse on Jesus, and no one can confess, Jesus is Lord, without being guided by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of us all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this. As he wishes, he gives a different gift to each person. Amen.
Amen. A story that you only get in John's Gospel. The author of the fourth Gospel is sparing in telling us stories of miracles. Just seven in the whole Gospel. And here is one that people in our tradition, with our history of temperance, have wrestled with forever. Teresa James will read this passage to us.
This comes from the Gospel of St. John, it's chapter 2. 2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had been given out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They're out of wine. You must not tell me what to do," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Jesus' mother then told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The Jews have rules about ritual washing, and for this purpose, 6 stone water jars were there, each one large enough to hold between 20 and 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill these jars with water." They filled them to the brim, and then he told them, "Now, draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast." They took him the water, which had now turned into wine, and he tasted it. He did not know where this wine had come from, But of course the servants who had drawn the water out knew. So he called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone else serves the best wine first, and after the guests have drunk a lot, he serves the ordinary wine. But you have kept the best wine until now." Jesus performed this first miracle in Cana in Galilee. There he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, Jesus and his mother, brother, and disciples went to Capernaum and stayed there for a few days. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, still the noise of our heads that we would hear you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. We come as beggars with empty hands. We come as beloved infants, precious but unearning. We extend our hands and we receive. Unmerited, things are given. Out of generosity and love, it is handed over to us. Huge vats of it, more than we could ever come to the end of. It's probably the most radical message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Saved by grace, not by works. So these two readings are not about pay, but they're about gifts. And I have to confess a passionate love for the story of the water into wine. I love it because it's extravagant, and I love it because it's bonkers. It's just a really great, daft reading that's... And I tell you this now, I tell you this categorically, that decision to turn water into wine would never, never have got past the management committee or the elders meeting or the church meeting of Kingston United Reformed Church. I guarantee it, it would not have happened. All those against, that's everybody except you, Jesus. The water into the wine story is a story of surprising abundance. And it is the exact metaphor of the Christian life and the deepest challenge for those of us who are managing okay with our lives is how we deal with a story like this. Does God love me? Of course God loves me. Of course God loves me. Only an idiot wouldn't love somebody like me. I give to the church, I give to a range of charities, I'm kind to puppies, kittens, small children. I've earned it. But the Christian story isn't like that. The Christian story is about God, who is extravagant in love, wide and wild in love. And for many people, actually, It's too much to believe. I would suggest that there are people who can believe it on a Sunday morning, but the minute we walk out this door, we can't believe it anymore. So one of the things that we do is we cut it down and we box it and we sort it out by doing good things. We do good things. So we earn our place at the table because we've done some good stuff. So we don't come as beggars who are empty or infants who need to receive. We come because we've actually earned our place there because we've done this list of good stuff. And I want to say a word of warning. I understand it, but I want to warn each one of us, because one day, every single one of us, unless it comes quickly, will spend a chunk of time doing no more than breathing in and breathing out. And that is what we will do. And at that time, at that moment, God will still love us. God will still look at us and think we are precious. But if we do not believe the gospel truth, then that experience will be incredibly uncomfortable to us. Because somewhere we've got the message of the gospel twisted and thought we had to earn it, as to all that's required of us is to respond. To receive the abundance of the wine. No, sorry, I have to pay for it. I have to earn it. No. The call is to receive it. And the notion for us to think of ourselves as empty-handed receivers is opposed to the bright, sparkly earners that we usually are, is transformational. And it's also transformational in the way that we view the gifts of others. So the early church in all over the place, Ephesians, Ephesus, Rome, and Corinth, they're having difficulty with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what it means, and they're trying to rate them. They're trying to rank them. Which gifts are more important than other gifts? And is it more important to be able to speak in tongues or perform miracles? Is it more important to be able to discern wise teaching, or is it to have a clear understanding? What is more important, and to have a ranking of them? And we do that too. We do that too because our society does that too, and we swim in that sea all the time, and that's part of our challenge in the life of the church. So for us as a community, certain gifts like business skills, administration, accountancy are held among us in higher regard than pastoral care, the gift of kindliness, the gift of being devout in prayer, for example. And we're not unique in this, but it's sinful still. It's the world that we live in, that some things are seen as more valuable than others. But Paul calls the Corinthians up and would call us up too. We need to stop, and we need to remember the need for the whole wide range of gifts, and to remember the fact that they come from God. That God has given us these gifts, and God knows what God has given to us. And our challenge is to acknowledge the giver of the gifts and to use the gifts that God has given to us, and to use them well. And the problem is not in the gifts themselves. The problem is in the lack of the acknowledgement of who has given us the gift, and then sometimes our lack of courage in using the gifts that God has given us. Where did you get that? I earned it. No, brother and sister. It's not about your status, my status. It's not about your money, my money. It's about, not about our position in society. It's about the fact that we are receivers of the gifts of God. And there are a huge variety of ways in which God has given us gifts. And there are a huge variety of ways in which God has called us to be part of God's work, and a whole range of gifts that God has given. Will we use them? Will we acknowledge where they came from? So back to the gospel reading. There is an interesting debate to be had around this story, but the interesting debate is not around the did this happen, blah, 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 is it possible, blah, 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 miracles, blah, blah, blah. The minute you say to me, I believe in an invisible being who is interested in my life, and I believe in some way has been involved in the creation of the universe and sustaining of the universe, then I say to you, miracles are small, forgive me for this, small beer. And I want to say to you, get off the fence. The question is, why did Jesus do that? Why, according to the gospel, according to John, did Jesus turn water into wine? Why? And it's a story full of brave people who are an inspiration to ordinary, everyday people like you and me. So you got Mary, all right, fair enough. I would concede that even I would concede with my Protestant life, even I would concede that Mary's maybe not quite that ordinary as the mother of Jesus. But her call and godliness is just because of her ordinariness, though God is at work. But she's proactive. He says to her, the timing is wrong. And she speaks to the servants anyway. She's not put off by any issues about timing. She just cracks on. The marrying couple need his help. Jesus can do this. He needs a nudge. She nudges him. The bravest people in the story, I would suggest, are the servants. Jesus says to them, fill up those jars with water. They knew the state of water in their times and in their place. They knew what was in those water pots. Imagine a wedding where everybody drinks dodgy water, and you were the servant that handed over the dodgy water to be drunk. Imagine the scandal. So Jesus says, draw out some water and give it to the steward. Imagine how the steward would have acted if the steward, which has been their boss, had got a mouthful of dirty water. They could probably tell from the smell of it that something had happened and some transformation had gone on. They knew, in the way that the steward didn't know, The bride and groom didn't know where this water, where this wine had come from. It was the lowest member of the members of the crowd that had this profound encounter with Jesus. Not the most esteemed guest. They would have been sitting on the top table beside the bride and groom. It's the lowest members of the crowd, the servants. Now, the tradition of weddings in the time of Jesus was that they would have been like a bring and share, much more than in our times where we have these large, expensive, extravagant events that somebody or maybe some group of people pick up the tab for everybody. That's the usual way. And if you were invited to a wedding, then the expectation was that you brought something towards this. What was it about that bride and groom that meant that there wasn't enough? Was it that they were not as celebrated, not as supported as others? Is it that people had been a bit stingy and not brought as much as could have been expected? And we all know the debate, because we've all had that debate, which is, I've been invited to this thing, I've got to give a gift, what should I give? How much should I give? Should I give this much, should I give that much? What's the minimum I can get away with? What was the maximum that wouldn't look too over? That debate. And this couple were running out of wine. And the bride and the groom are saved from social disaster, and they didn't organize it. They probably, certainly in the middle of it all, didn't even know that they were heading for disaster and didn't know they were being saved. They received it. And how often does that happen? That we are the casual receivers of so much abundance, much of which, lots of the time, we don't even pause to acknowledge. So the question is this. If we had been one of the servants at the feast, would we have been brave enough to fill up the water jars? Would we have been brave enough to take water from the jar and offer it to the steward as we were instructed by this man, who knows who he is? Would we have followed his instructions? And then, would we have been able to recognize who he is? And what would we thought about that huge, huge amount of wine? Surely it would be enough just to have one or two wee glasses full. Surely he didn't need gallons and gallons of the stuff. What on earth did you do all that for? And would we have been able to receive it? Or would we have had to feel that in some way we needed to earn it? Let us be still, then we will pray. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, For the Fruits of All Creation. 18th to the 25th of January is traditionally week of prayer, actually octave of prayer for Christian unity. We join to pray. Let's pray. Jesus Christ prayed for the unity of his disciples. The gift of his life is justice for the world. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to lavish God's grace and mercy on all. Lord, help us to break through barriers of ethnic, religious, and cultural divide. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to keep our lives free from the love of money. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to bring good news to the poor. Lord, help us to be among those who condemn exploitation and the systems that perpetuate it. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to treat all with dignity. Let us be a voice in the face of discrimination, oppression, and abuse. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to bring hope to others. Lord, help us to be salt and light. Lord, we are members of the body of Christ, but we are not all of it. So we pray for other parts of the body of Christ around the world. And we hold up before you our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in places where a public confession of faith in you could lead to persecution, to death, certainly to being seen as outside of wise society. We pray for members and friends of this church around the world. In France, in the Cayman Islands, in Korea. And we particularly pray for Sulhee as she waits to get her visa to come back to continue her ministry among us. Lord, we pray. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Presbyterian Church of Korea and the Presbyterian Church of the Republic of Korea, knowing that we have received so much from them. Lord, we are members of the body of Christ, but we are not all of it. We are not all of it, even in the middle of Kingston upon Thames. So we pray for our brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ at Everyday Church, at Kingsgate, at the Methodist Church on the Fairfield, St. Raphael's, on the Portsmouth Road, and All Saints with St. John's. Lord, we are members of the body of Christ, each one of us, and we have been given gifts by you. What are they? And at this time in our lives, how do you want us to use them? This week, Lord, hear the prayers we offer, spoken and in the silence, for all come in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Accept these our offerings and transform them into action for the unity of your church, that the lives that we offer, we would offer wholehearted. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, All Are Welcome. a seat. Stuart, would you like to? Just to remind us as we go on our way.
Letter to the Christians in Corinth. He said, the Holy Spirit gives us all different gifts so we can help each other. Some people give wise advice. They speak comforting words. Some people have a great faith. They pray to God. They come close to God. Some people have the gift of healing. They care for the sick. Some people perform miracles. They do amazing things. Some people are prophets. They give messages from God. Some people know what comes from God, and they can help us to find the way. The Holy Spirit decides who should have which gifts.
So let's go from this place, strengthened by the gifts that God has given to us and the bonds that unite us to each other and to the living God. We say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you.